Well, tonight we find ourselves in Romans chapter 12. We'll be studying verses 3 through 8, but mainly we'll be studying verse 8. Because in our study of the gifts of the Spirit, we've divided up this study of the gifts into three sections. The first section is the speaking gifts. The second section that we're going to look at, the serving gifts. And finally, the signifying gifts. But tonight, we will conclude the first section of this study, the speaking gifts, by looking at the gift of exhortation. And so let's look at the text, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation." So we'll conclude right there. We're studying the gift of exhortation. Some of the gifts in the list that we just read, we've already studied. Others we haven't, and we'll come to those gifts later on in the study. But we've stopped right here at the beginning of Romans 12:8 because we're studying that gift, the gift of exhortation. And in order to more fully understand this gift of exhortation, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally, or using 3D words. The first D word we're going to use is define. We will first begin by defining this gift. The second D word that we're going to use is diagnose. A simple diagnosis will help us to determine if we have this gift or not. And then the third D word that we'll use is develop. For those of us who have this gift, we will discuss ways in which we can develop and use this gift. But consider this. In Acts chapter 4, we meet a man named Joseph, who was renamed Barnabas. And Barnabas was such an exhorter that he was even nicknamed Barnabas, the son of encouragement, or the son of exhortation. It would appear that the Holy Spirit had given Barnabas this extra measure of what's called the gift of exhortation. It's equally possible that there are some here tonight who have also been given an extra measure of this gift of exhortation. And so let's define it first by way of lexicon. Exhortation simply means this: admonition, encouragement, and comfort. Admonition, encouragement, and comfort. And from this definition, I simply find three types of exhorters. One I call the coach, the next I call the cheerleader, and finally, the caretaker. Let's talk about those three types of exhorters. First, the coach. The coach is the one who gets you ready for the big game, or he or she is the one who instructs you while you're on the field. At halftime, if you're not doing so well, the coach is the one reminding you that you need to step it up and work a little harder out there. Admonition. That's their gift. The coach usually brings admonition. This is mild but earnest rebuke. This is when the coach is up in your face saying, "Do you want to win this game or not? Now get out there and win one for the Gipper." They typically give advice for one who is doing something wrong. They want to advise you into how to do it right. Consider Paul as he admonished the Philippians. In Philippians 3:13-15, Paul writes, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." You see, Paul was being a coach. He's saying, hey, you know what? Just because you may have fumbled the ball, just because you may have, you know, had a couple of bad turnovers, it's okay because you just need to go forward now. Forget the mistakes that you've made in the past. Let's move on from here and keep your eyes on the prize. He was being a coach. He was admonishing the Christians in Philippi. He's saying, set your eyes on the prize. Get back out there and start acting like Christians. I like that, the coach. Sometimes we just need that strong, bold word of admonition to get back in there and continue doing what we know we ought to be doing. We typically know what we ought to be doing, but it takes the coach to come along and just remind us and give us those encouraging, exhortive words to remind us. Well, not only is there the coach that has the gift of exhortation, but there's the cheerleader. The cheerleader is the one who is cheering you on while you're on the field. They want you to know that others are supporting you in what you are doing. So they play a very supportive role in their gift of exhortation. This person is always the encouraging. They're always the encourager, cheering you on. And Paul demonstrates this again in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. He demonstrates this ability to be a cheerleader to the Philippians. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so you can just hear the rah-rah team in those words. He's saying, hey, you know, you're always on my mind. I'm always thinking about you. I'm always praying about you. And I've got confidence that Christ is going to be able to continue to work in your lives until the day he comes back. He was being the cheerleader. He was encouraging these believers, reminding them that they're playing on God's team. And God's team's already won. And so don't get down about fumbling the ball. Cheer him on. Let's go for it. He was confident of their victory in Christ already. Well, there's the coach, the cheerleader, and the caretaker. The caretaker is the one who wants to help you when you are hurt. Understand that when you're playing a game like football, sometimes people are going to get hurt on the field, and they're taken off to the side, and a caretaker or a nurse, you know, someone comes along and checks out the wounds and the injuries and advises in bringing along some pain relievers or putting a splint on, or they're there to comfort the one who is hurting. And so when you get injured on the field, the caretaker comes along and assesses the damage that's been done, and they want to administer care to help you feel better. The caretaker, or we can call them a comforter, tends to focus on assuring the wounded that everything's going to be okay. And I see this in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Paul comforted the believers in Rome. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All the struggles that you can go through, all the hard times, all the injuries you can get while living your life, can any of that really separate you from the one main goal, which is to know Christ and to be known by him? Paul's reminding them that nothing could separate them from the love of God. So he's caring for their hurt feelings. He's caring for their hurt spirits. And he's reminding them, don't worry. Don't feel pain over these things, because there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. And so in all three cases, the coach, the cheerleader, the caretaker, the words of an exhorter brings healing as well as a resolve to live the victorious Christian life. The words of an exhorter remind us everything's going to be okay. And we can go back out into this world living as Christians and not get hurt by all the things around us and not get caught up in all the things around us because the victory is already won. This gift is oftentimes used in conjunction with the gift of prophecy. In the Old Testament, and too many examples, but the Old Testament, it was the prophets who were constantly exhorting the nation of Israel to return to the Lord, to repent of their sins. They were constantly giving exhortive words to Israel. But the gift of teaching can also be exhortive. And so the gift of prophecy typically comes along with the gift of exhortation. The gift of teaching typically comes along with the gift of exhortation. In 1 Timothy 2, if you want to turn there, we see Paul in 1 Timothy 2 exhorting people through his gift of teaching. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." And so his teaching were words of exhortation. Again, if you want to keep turning to the right, you can find the book of Jude. It's easy to miss because there's only one chapter. So in Jude, chapter 1, of course, verse 3, Jude also gives exhortation along with the gift of teaching. And so we see the gift of teaching and the gift of exhortation being used side by side. He says this in verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So again, that gift of teaching along with the gift of exhortation. While the gift of exhortation is found accompanying the gifts of prophecy and teaching, you can be an exhorter, you can have the gift of exhortation without necessarily having the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. So consider a lyricist, a songwriter, someone who writes songs whose lyrics encourage and comfort the soul. We sang songs tonight that had exhortive lyrics in them, though I don't know if those songwriters would consider themselves teachers or prophets. Or think about it like this. Think about the friend who sent you the e-card last week. You checked your email, there was the e-card, and the e-card had some, you know, spiritual, exhortive thing to it. They actually went and found that e-card with that exhortation and sent it to you to exhort you. Or maybe it was a hard, you know, card that came in the mail, snail mail. I don't know if you guys send those anymore, but it's all e-cards now for me. But think about the person who just drops a call and calls you up and just says, "Hey, I just wanted to encourage you. Just wanted to say, hey, I was just thinking about you. And is there anything I can pray for?" You know, that's somebody that might not have the gift of prophecy, they might not have the gift of teaching, but they sure are an exhorter. Exhortation has a simple purpose. As we're defining what exhortation is, let's talk about the purpose of exhortation. Because whether we are admonished, encouraged, or comforted by an exhorter, the purpose of this gift is to point people back to Jesus. Chuck Smith puts it like this: exhortation focuses our eyes back on the Lord. It corrects our vision. And Christians, we can become so overwhelmed with a struggle or a situation that we need someone to come along into our lives and encourage us, admonish us, or comfort us, to remind us that Jesus is on the throne, that he is in control, and he has a plan for our lives. You see, you could take a penny out of your pocket right now, and you could, I'm a pretty large guy, but you could take a penny and block me out. By focusing on that penny, you can't see anything behind that penny, and because of the perspective, you no longer see me. And I'm much bigger than a penny. It's all perspective. You can put that penny back in your pocket and not have to worry about that. So understand, it's all about perspective. If you're focusing on the penny and you're focusing solely on the penny, then everything else becomes, well, you can't see past it. And if you take these problems that come along in life, and you focus on that one problem, you focus on that one sin, well, I keep doing this sin, and so I'm going to focus on this sin. You keep focusing on the sin, you keep doing the sin. Well, of course, because you're focused on sin. Focus on the Lord. And that's what the exhorter does. The exhorter, you see, I just exhorted you. The exhorter comes along and says, quit focusing on all this stuff. Get your eyes back on Jesus. He's on the throne. He's in control. He has a plan. When this gift is used by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is a believer who is moved from fear to faith. And they find a new source of strength to overcome any and every obstacle. Simple working definition then. After considering all of that, this simple working definition of this gift of exhortation is this. The gift of exhortation is the supernatural ability to prompt believers to commit all of their concerns, troubles, and trials into the able arms of Jesus. I'll give that to you again. The gift of exhortation is the supernatural ability to prompt believers to commit all of their concerns, troubles, and trials into the able arms of Jesus. That's awesome. We need people in the church who have the gift of exhortation. Because as we go through life, we can get bruised, we can get battered, we can get hurt in the church, outside of the church. And we need those exhorters to come along and remind us. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Quit focusing on those troubles. Sometimes that word needs to come in the form of a gentle rebuke. Sometimes that word needs to come in a very encouraging way, uplifting. Sometimes it needs to be comforting, a word of understanding. But we need a good word of exhortation most days, don't we? Well, let's diagnose this gift. And to diagnose this gift, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And depending on how you answer those questions is going to help you determine whether this is a gift that you might or might not have. So the first question is this. Do you feel a need to console other believers who are struggling with a difficult season or situation? Do you feel a need to console other believers who are struggling with a difficult situation or season? Maybe you see someone who's experiencing hard times in their life, whether it be a health issue or a relational issue or whatever kind of issue could come along. You see them struggling and you just your heart just goes out to them and you just want to come alongside them. And if nothing else, just give them a hug or just give them some encouraging word. If that's you, maybe you have the gift of exhortation. This is the second question here. Does it grieve you when you hear Christians who are just constantly complaining about every little thing? Does that grieve you? You hear Christians and they're just complaining about this, they're complaining about that. And you just want to go and remind them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And if they want joy, they should ask for it. Maybe you even challenge somebody to stop complaining and to start praying. It's too easy to complain, right? And so maybe you're one of those people that you hear people complaining and you just want to go to them and just say, you know what, if you would spend as much time praying as you spend complaining, you'd probably not have so much to complain about. Well, the third question is this. Are you able to see how God could use other believers in ways that they can't see themselves? In other words, are you able to see gifts that some people have? They don't even see that they have them, but you see it in them. Have you ever gone to a person like that and then just encouraged them? Have you ever encouraged another believer regarding the gifts that they don't even know that they have? Maybe you've even rebuked someone for wasting their time, treasure, and talent. Gone to them and said, you know, God could be using you in these ways, but you're just spinning your wheels. What are you doing? The next question is this. When people ask you to pray for something, do you make it a habit to say, well, let's pray right now. Let's stop and pray right now. Let's ask God right now to heal that hurt. Let's seek Jesus right now for an answer to that problem. Does that sound like you? Maybe you have the gift of exhortation. Do people ever tell you, this is the final question, do people ever tell you, man, I was ready to give up on that ministry. I was ready to give up on that relationship. I was ready to just call it quits on this whole thing. I was ready to walk away from this church. But then you came along and said such and such. You said this or that. And it just totally, I can totally see now that God's got my back and that He's going to take care of this. So thank you. Has anybody ever told you those kinds of words where they just came back and said, thank you so much for saying this or that because I was ready to give up? If you hear those kinds of words from people, then you probably have the gift of exhortation. So pull out your Ignite inventory sheet, and on there is the gift of exhortation. Beside it are numbers, 1 to 10. If you answered yes to all those questions, then you more than likely have the gift of exhortation. If you answered no to all the questions, then circle the 1. If you answered yes to all of them, circle a 10. If you answered a yes to a few of them, then you know find your number of what you think you are on that gift. Maybe you're somewhere in between there. But let's talk about developing the gift. Because if you marked, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there, then you ought to start developing that gift. The fact of the matter is that the church needs more exhorters. Believers need to be admonished. Believers need to be encouraged. And believers need to be comforted. If you have this gift, then you ought to be developing this gift. And the best way to develop this gift is to make yourself available, relationally speaking. Make yourself available. While it's true that a prophet can exhort and a teacher can exhort, the best kind of exhortation is always relational. It's personal. And a teacher or a prophet typically exhorts in a very broad way. It's just kind of a broad paintbrush stroke that just kind of, when I get up here, I'm not going to call anybody by name. I'm not going to say, yeah, so-and-so over there is struggling with this, and I just want to exhort you from the pulpit today in front of everybody that would be wrong. That would be totally wrong. But in a personal relationship, if you have that gift of exhortation, then you can personally minister to the other person that needs to be exhorted. And so the gift of exhortation, while it can be used in a broad way from a pulpit, or from a prophet, it's typically a greater need in one-on-one relationships or even small group relationships. So a friend who has the gift of exhortation can speak to another regarding the exact situation or struggle or season that they're experiencing. A few ways to do this is to plug in. If you have the gift of exhortation but you're not plugged in, you're ripping the rest of us off. You have a gift that God has given you, and you ought to be bringing that gift to the table. And so if you're not plugged in but you have this gift of exhortation, we're getting ripped off. I don't like getting ripped off. Anybody like getting ripped off? Plug in. The small groups that the women's ministry have, if you're a woman, there's small groups that meet every Tuesday night. The gift of exhortation is needed in those small groups. Our monthly men's breakfast is a perfect place to interact with other men. And after the study time is over, and before the study time, there's food, and we're getting words in between bites and stuff. And so exhortation could be happening there. Afterwards, guys are forming relationships, and those relationships are going beyond the study itself. We have work days, like the work day this next Saturday. Relationships are going to be formed at the work day this Saturday. And those relationships, as they're being built and as people are coming closer together, then the gift of exhortation will be used in those relationships. Let's also not forget Wednesday nights. 30 minutes are dialed into every Wednesday night, except for the communion, because that takes a little longer. But for 30 minutes during the majority of the Wednesday night service, there's a time set up just for relationships. Kids are still being watched in children's ministry. Adults are in here, fellowshipping, eating food, and the gift of exhortation ought to be in operation. Well, as you make yourself more available, to these new relationships, the important thing is going to be to go forward in faith. You see, when God is moving in your heart to bring exhortation to others, there can be a little bit of a question. Is this God? Does God want me to exhort this person? Well, I don't know how much your flesh wants to exhort other people, but it's probably not a whole lot, because your flesh is more about people exhorting you. You know, your flesh is going around, exhort me, you know. You just want to get as much as you can from everybody else, you know. But so it's typically not your flesh that causes you to want to exhort others. And let's see, Satan and his demons, do they want people to be exhorted? No, probably not. It's Satan and the demons that are saying, go home early. Don't practice that gift of exhortation. So when you feel that sense that, well, you know, I feel like I might need to exhort this person. I feel like I should encourage them or comfort them or admonish them. Is that God? Hello? Of course it's God. Now step out in faith. Move forward. Go encourage that person. Admonish, encourage, and comfort by the leading and power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you with this, that ultimately the Holy Spirit is the one who has to be giving you the gift of exhortation. As a matter of fact, in John 14, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And this Greek word for comforter is the root word which we get our word exhortation from. And so it's only by the power of the infinite exhorter that we could even begin to exhort others. But if we're filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit and God is leading you to exercise your gift of exhortation, go for it. Exhort the people around you. Exhort the people God wants you to exhort. And when Christians are exhorted, the church is healthier. And so I want to encourage you, if you have this gift, begin to exercise it. Well, next week, we will kick off the first of the serving gifts. And so next Wednesday night, we will study the gift of helps. With that, we conclude this study. But now we're going to enter into a time of communion and extended worship. And so let's bring down the lights and let's have a word of prayer. Lord,